Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Landon Tengwall. Landon, we are back, meaning the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is really unusual for us. We had a few days off because of a power outage. And Landon, I just want to mention, you don't know how much you miss power until it's gone.
Look, Jim, it's just like an offensive lineman, you know, an AC, all that. You don't notice until it's not working. And Jim was over there and, you know, up in freezing cold PA with no heat, no nothing. I know you were bundled up trying to get some sleep. I can't imagine. It's cold up here, PA, man. I walk in here this morning, it feels like it's like -5 out. So I can't imagine what that was like, bundled up, all you know, no heat and all that. So you're a soldier for that one, Jim.
Well, where I live, Landon, the power doesn't go out very often. It really doesn't. And if it does, it's just typically a couple minutes, if that. So when the power went out, and it's PPL, who I have as the power company here, you could go to their map online, which is great. And it'll actually tell you when they think it will come on, which their note was a couple days later. So that's a little bit intimidating, but that's what they said everywhere. And I talked to people who had that notice, and theirs came on like an hour later or 2 hours later. So I thought, you know what? That was just the default that they put out there. Just hang in there. It'll be okay. Well, hour one, an hour two, an hour three, and then it gets dark, and then it's overnight, and it didn't come back on. It was a very cold night, but I think what was the worst part of it was trying to sleep. My neighbor across the street has a generator. So that's running all night, and I could hear that. So it was like insult to injury. Well, he's got power because he's got a generator, and his generator is keeping me up all night. So we had to go without the show for a couple days. I hope you guys all survived without us, but we're back now, better than ever. And we've got Landon with us. A lot of things to talk about. Landon, instead of starting football, I know you and I are both big fans of the basketball team. What a fantastic win this week. They upset number 11 ranked Wisconsin. Wisconsin had been undefeated in the Big Ten going into this game. Penn State gives them their first loss. What a great win, huh?
No doubt. You know, shout out to Coach Rhodes, someone who we talked to, able to have him on the show. It was really great and kind of know what he stands for. And then we got to talk to a couple of different players. You know, it's the type of team you want to root for, you know, a bunch of guys, you know, coming together out of the transfer portal. And that's not, you know, we talked about that in the past. It's not always easy. When you have, you know, when you have a lot of talent and it's all new, it's kind of hard sometimes to put it all the way together. So, you know, shout out to Coach Rhodes and the guys. You know, some guys stepped up big, obviously. Ace, I think four from five from three. I mean, that's big time. And, you know, one thing that I noticed is, you know, the rebounds almost every game, you know, we're almost, you know, we're outdone almost every single game. So it's one of those things. If we want to win against these really good teams, we're going to have to shoot well. And, you know, obviously we talked about this yesterday, you know, it's basketball, obviously, you know, you win when you shoot well, but I just think even more so for this team, just because we're not able to get those offensive rebounds and maybe get those easy buckets back up. You know, it's really important that these guys are shooting well. So, you know, I think if they continue to click, guys like Kanye, Ace, and just kind of keep contributing from guys on the bench, you know, this team could be dangerous. You know, I'm excited. And then I don't know if you saw this, but Coach Rhodes in his presser mentioned that there was 50% off chicken baskets for the students, and Nate Bauer caught one of the craziest stray bullets I've ever seen, because he looked at Nate Bauer and said, "Hey Nate, I bet you got one too." And I saw Nate take the Twitter and say, "I guess it's time for a diet." So if Nate's hearing this at all, I'm sorry, Nate. That was unwarranted from Coach Rhodes, but I guess, I don't know, I guess you deserved it in some way.
I love that, but you know, in the interest of self-awareness and the fact that you and I were together for lunch yesterday elsewhere. What did you and I have for lunch?
We had chicken baskets, Jim. I mean, I can't hate on it, especially from the stadium and the BJC, man. It's a staple. A chicken basket with fries, it's a staple at Penn State for any sporting event. So, you know, I can't blame anybody or Nate for taking part in the 50% off.
Neither can I. I would have gone down that route also. But in evaluating the team, I think you hit it with that shooting. And again, it sounds like the dumbest thing when you evaluate a basketball team and say, well, they got to shoot better. Anybody, you play basketball, you put points on the board by shooting well. But for this team in particular, I don't think they have those consistent shooters. And even, you know, Kanye and Ace, tremendous players. They have that ability to make offense for themselves. You know, they're so quick. They can do things, especially Kanye, so quick. I think it's by default. He's the quickest guy on the court, no matter what team they're playing. So, but it's, can they find some of that outside shooting? And for this game, it was 40% from 3-point. I think Coach Rhodes would take that any day. They play well on defense. They force turnovers. They get their points that way. And I also think, though, and this is fascinating, years ago, I remember a tournament game where Penn State ran into a buzzsaw that was Arkansas, where they were just so much more athletic, so much faster. Penn State couldn't keep up with them. It was interesting to me watching this game against Wisconsin. Penn State was the much more athletic team and the faster team.
Yeah, I think that was pretty clear. And it's, you know, it's one of those things. And, you know, you kind of get that from Coach Rhodes with like a gritty team. You know, he's bringing that grit. You're playing hardcore defense. You're stripping that ball away. You're playing, you know, you're playing your heart out. And, you know, that's what you have to get out of your guys to beat a team like Wisconsin. Have Ohio State next, obviously, still, you know, still a pretty good team. But, you know, I think that's what you got to see out of this team. They got to continue to shoot well. They got to hustle, play great defense, and try to continue to get some boards, especially on the offensive side.
You know, I really don't know if people could appreciate what Coach Rhodes and his staff had to do in putting this team together. They're hovering around 500, but just to do that, and especially in the Big Ten, where essentially when we say he started from scratch in the offseason, I mean, he had nothing. He had no players.
Yeah, he, you know, when we had a chance to sit down with him, he told us, he said, you know, I was sitting there with two players on my roster, you know, a couple months away from the season starting. And, you know, I'm out there recruiting 24/7, trying to put a roster together. And like, look, he told us it was him, five other coaches, assistant coaches, living in what they called some type of bachelor pad, but it wasn't much partying going on. It was recruiting, it was game planning, it was scheming, it was getting the right guys in. So, you know, like I said, shout out to Coach Rhodes and, you know, and his assistant coaches. They've done a fantastic job. And, you know, I think this team has a really bright future under him, especially as they continue to gel more and more.
I do too. And if I don't believe this is a tournament team, but it's a scary team. I think they're, if you're a good team, you don't come into Penn State, Bryce Jordan Center, and think, hey, you know, this is going to be an easy night. We've got Penn State here. No, it's going to be a war, and I don't think anybody wants to face that defense. So anyway, before we get to college football, I did want to ask you one more thing off topic a little bit, and that's the NFL. I'm an Eagles guy. You know that. You're a Steelers guy. Not a good day for Penn State, State of Pennsylvania fans for the NFL.
Jim, not good at all, man. My Steelers, I can't remember the last time we won a playoff game. I might have been in elementary school. it's been rough. At least you guys, you know, you guys have been doing good recently. But, you know, we got some quarterback controversy over here. It was rough. But, you know, at least we were the 7 seed, Jim. You guys over there, you know, you guys, what were you, 11-1 at one point and then a total collapse. But really, that it's amazing to see what type of what a locker room collapse can do to a talented team. I mean, I think anybody can say the Eagles are right up there with the 49ers, the Ravens, as far as talent on their team. You know, really great old heads, Jason Kelce, Fletcher Cox, Lane Johnson, guys that have been around, played in the Super Bowl, things of that nature. And you know, just a complete collapse from within. I mean, AJ Brown kind of basically decided not to play, and it kind of seemed like he really could have played. You got Dallas Goedert at the end saying something to Jalen Hurts. Didn't look very good, and Jalen kind of just sitting there looking off into the distance. So it's clear that team had some discourse in the locker room over the season, especially on the back end. And, you know, sometimes I just question, you know, how some of those, like I mentioned, Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, Fletcher Cox, those old heads, you know, Darius Slay, let that happen. It's, you know, and the fans, I saw the fans bring out the old paper bags with the holes in them, the Andy Reid days when they were trying to get Andy Reid going. But, you know, rough day for both of us, Jim.
Well, what I find interesting and I want to ask you about then is the response to the coaches and how the teams handle it. Like, Mike Tomlin, Nick Sirianni, do they come back? Well, let's talk Eagles and Sirianni. Is this a case where he's lost the locker room? Most recent news indicates he could be back. I thought in the playoff game, he was coaching for his job. And if he was, he's not getting his job back. But now you're hearing news reports that he might be back.
Yeah, I think it's hard because he's been so successful with this team. He's a young coach. And it seemed like the players loved playing for him. But that turned at a drop of a hat really quickly. You start seeing a lot of stuff, guys questioning him. And you know, it's hard when you lose a locker room, especially as a head coach, when you're the head guy, it's really difficult to get them back, especially in the NFL when it's a bunch of grown men. It's a little bit different in college, high school, you know, where it's, you know, you're still kids. When it's a bunch of grown men and you lose their respect, you're probably not getting it back. And, you know, so I don't know if Eagles have a candidate in mind, if not Sirianni, but, I find it hard pressed to, for him to kind of regroup everybody. And I see a lot of the guys retiring, honestly. I see a lot of those older guys. Obviously, Jason Kelce announced his retirement. I could see a couple other guys leaving because it's almost like, you know, they felt – a lot of guys came back because they felt this. They had a Super Bowl team. And then kind of this collapse, and it's kind of looking a little bit grim for the future. So, you know, I could see some pieces leaving. You don't know what's going to happen with A.J. Brown. Maybe he kind of seems like he wants to get out of there. So, you know, obviously a lot of discourse in there for the Philadelphia Eagles, and it's going to be an interesting offseason to see how they navigate that with their players and Sirianni.
It really will be. There's been some news that Howie Roseman and Sirianni, they're talking about getting some new coordinators, so that makes it sound like he'll be back. We shall see. All right, that is it for quarter number one, Landon. Quarter number two, we're going to hit some college football. Stick around for that. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Landon Tangwall. We got the chance to talk a little bit NFL football and some college hoops in quarter number one, Landon. Let's get back to our real runway, where we belong with some college football. Let's talk about this Penn State team. Now that it appears at least the first phase of the offseason is done, let's take a look at a couple of the position battles that are coming up. And I think there's a couple obvious positions where things are going on. I want to start with wide receiver, because this it's fascinating. It's been underachieving. And, well, right now, first of all, they have 14 players on scholarship at wide receiver, which I think that has to shake out, you know, because we know there's already too many players on scholarship. They bring in Julian Fleming in a, you know, a little bit surprising what players have stuck around. I think many of us thought Keandre Lambert-Smith would be gone either to the NFL or the transfer portal. At least so far, none of that has happened. How in the world does that position shake out?
Yeah, Jim, it's definitely a tricky one. Obviously, you got some talent there and bringing in Julian Fleming, someone that everybody wanted, you know, a couple years ago, and, you know, still really excited to get him. And, you know, look, I think Ohio State has, for the past couple years, had some of the best wide receivers in college football. And, you know, it was obviously kind of hard. It was hard for him to get his shine there and, you know, wanted to come back here. I could easily see him being our wide receiver one, you know, and really making a big impact. You know, we need a type of guy that can go up, you know, help Drew out, make some plays for him. And then, you know, opposite him, you know, obviously you still got Keandre Lambert-Smith, but you got Trey Wallace, really talented guy, had a bunch of injuries this year. Unfortunately, you know, got injured early on, came back, played in the first game that he came back, ended up hurting himself again and was pretty much out for the rest of the season until the bowl game and got a touchdown in the bowl game, you know, but very talented guy. So I think we see him play a lot bigger role coming into next year. Really can get go up, jump ball type of guy, has the speed to get that separation away from DBs that we've talked about all season that our wide receivers were not getting to really help Drew out and make some of those throws a little bit easier instead of him having to fit it in tight windows. And then, you know, we talked about this yesterday, but I really like Caden Saunders. He's a guy, he came in, he works hard, he keeps his head down, but really, really shifty in the slot, smaller guy, but, you know, kind of seems to be open a lot when he does get some playing time. So that, you know, that's something I'd like to see really start to gel over the spring ball and this offseason is get Caden Saunders involved. I'm really excited for his potential and kind of what he can do. We've seen what other guys can do, but, I, you know, I think it's time to give some other people a real shot at this.
I was fascinated. Again, you and I spent much of the day together yesterday and just had these different conversations, and I was asking you about Caden Saunders because, and my comment to you was, I don't know how fast he is, but I think he's quick, where from the slot, he seems to be able to create some separation for himself when he has been out there. And just using the word separation in a Penn State wide receiver, it seems unusual. You don't hear the two together, but I used, again, the idea that I don't know how fast he is. And what was your answer to me?
I said, he's fast. Best believe. But then also I said, you know, there's a difference. There's speed and 40 time, and then there's just football speed. You know, there's some guys that can just get open. You know, for example, Antonio Brown, he ran a 4.6 something, and he was just always open, always had separation. And obviously I'm not comparing Caden Saunders to Antonio Brown, but it has more of that feel where he's not, you know, he's fast, but he's football fast. He's football quick. He's able, you know, he's a smart kid. He's able to understand leverage, use that to his advantage and use his quickness to his advantage. So like I said, I'm really excited to see, you know, what he can kind of continue to do over this spring and into next season.
I want to throw some names at you and just ask you if you think any of these guys might be someone who could step up and be a factor next year. And that's Malik McClain, Malik Mega, Liam Clifford, even Omari Evans. These are guys that have been around for a few years now. Pretty much now or never, isn't it, to step up?
Yeah, Jim, you know, I'd say so. And I think we saw Liam Clifford get a lot of targets. You know, obviously a really good shifty wide receiver, good hands. And then, you know, you look at Omari Evans and had that big touchdown, or actually, I don't think it was right at the down at the one against Michigan State. But, you know, that was really impressive. He's got a lot of talent. We saw it in the spring game, had a touchdown. I'll never forget one of my favorite moments from the spring game this past year. Omari Evans scored a touchdown and then did his dance that I saw him practicing all week in the locker room. And that dance then indeed did get him a 15-yard penalty. And then he's doing up downs in the corner of the end zone during the spring game. And so Franklin's sitting there, hands on the hips, watching him do his up downs. Well, and they put it on the Jumbotron, Jim. So he's on the Jumbotron doing up downs during the spring game for his celebration. But, you know, hopefully I want to see Amari Evans celebrate a whole lot more. So, you know, I'll take a couple penalties. But in all seriousness, I think Amari Evans is, out of that kind of group that you mentioned, someone that could break out, mainly because of his speed. And you talk about, you know, Kaden Saunders' speed. Amari Evans is the fastest wide receiver on this team. And, you know, obviously you have to make that work. And like I just talked about, having football speed, sometimes that when you have that natural 40 time speed, it doesn't always transfer over to football. So he's got to, you know, continue to craft his game to his skill set. Obviously a younger guy, but I'm really excited to see what he can do and maybe just break open some deep posts, some go routes, and kind of just spread this offense out a little bit.
You know, you just gave a great evaluation of Amari Evans, and you know what my takeaway was? He spent a week practicing the dance in the locker room.
You're right. That's how it is nowadays, Jim. You walk in the locker room and you see guys, it's Thursday, you're getting ready, you're preparing your mind, and the wide receivers and the DBs, they're working on the celebrations, Jim.
Well, you, that led to my next question. Do offensive linemen ever rehearse their dance or their celebration?
Jim, not really. It's more like a belly bump, something of that nature. Give our quarterback a hug or something like that. I was actually a big component for doing a big celebration. I was a big fan of when the Colts and Quentin Nelson, they did a keg stand celebration. And I was quickly vetoed on that one, that we would get in mighty trouble. So that we left that one out. We did not do the keg stand celebration, but I was all for that one. So I, you know, I'm a celebration guy. I enjoy them, but clearly James Franklin is not as fond of them.
How does a keg stand celebration work?
Well, one guy, you gotta, you know, they grab, I remember it was the Colts, and they grabbed Quentin Nelson by his feet, and they had one guy lay on his back. And he put his hands up on his back, and they lifted his feet up, and it, you know, it was like an upside down keg stand. And they did it, and I was a big fan ever since. And I was smart enough to I remember at the time, I think it was my freshman year, I brought it up to Cliff, and Cliff was like, he said, "Hey, I like it," but he said, "You have to ask Franklin," and he said, "Absolutely not." And I said, "Okay." He said, "I don't think that one wouldn't go over well with the university, so we'll keep alcohol out of it."
I'm just saying, I think the fans would have loved it. That's.
I agree with you, Jim. I agree with you.
Anyway, all right, let's go to a couple other positions where some battles are going on. And, you know, let's talk about cornerback. And what's interesting is this may have been as strong a position as this team has ever had last year. You had three NFL cornerbacks with Kalen King, Daquan Hardy, Johnny Dixon. I believe they're all going to be playing on Sundays and doing well there. They're all gone. We had Dixon and Kalen King sitting out the bowl game. And an unfortunate team to have your cornerback sitting out against with Ole Miss. And they certainly took advantage of the situation. I think the players got a little bit of a bad rap. I think Cam Miller, you kept hearing he was being picked on. I thought he was typically in pretty good position. Ole Miss just made some outstanding plays. Now, with that said, it was still an area where you said they need some help. That means Jalen Kimber, AJ Harris, two pretty good cornerbacks now entering that room. Where do they stand with the other players there, Landon?
Yeah, first off, like you said, I thought the same thing. Cam Miller really actually played a great game. The first start going in a bowl game against Lane Kiffin's air raid offense, an offense that's been humming all year. And, you know, you got two young, really young second-year cornerbacks both starting in their first game. That's rough. And like you said, I thought he was always in great position, and sometimes the wide receiver just made a play on him. But I think that was great for experience. And then, you know, you look at a guy like Jalen Kimber, AJ Harris. AJ Harris was a, you know, number one cornerback, played a lot at Georgia this past year, and really talented. I think two guys that can come in and make a big impact. You know, I think that's definitely going to be a competition. Competition is really always good because it creates depth. It makes people better. It pushes each other instead of, you know, if you go into an offseason and you know that you don't have any competition at position, well, you might sit back a little bit. You know, it's, you're not as worried. You're looking over your shoulder and you see that guy headed out to the jugs machine, headed out to go get this extra work in. You say, all right, you know, let me go hit some more weights. Let me go hit some more drills. So I think that's beneficial for the whole team and these players as a whole, but two really talented guys that we brought in. And then, you know, one other thing that I'm looking at is who's taking over that spot for Day-Day. You know, you look back, I mean, Day-Day's been in that slot for, you know, three, four years now. He's been around. So, you know, I'm looking to see who fills that in. We have a lot of good safeties. You know, obviously, Zaki Wheatley is really talented guy. Jalen Reed, Kevin Winston, maybe sliding one of them down and helping out down there. You know, a lot of times safeties can kind of play that slot corner position as well. But I'm interested to see who takes that over, because I think Daquan Hardy was so underrated and fans did not appreciate him enough for the job that he did in the slot, because it is not an easy job at all. And that's why that position is so sought after in the NFL. And like you said, I think all those guys are going to excel really well in the NFL. But I'm excited to see not only how the battle shakes out, but who's gonna hop in that slot cornerback position for us.
Well, this show, you know, we were big fans of Daquan Hardy and what he did. But I think you're right. That slot position was underrated. And they're going to need somewhere, somehow. I hadn't thought about the safeties. I was looking at these cornerbacks and some of them. We're running out of time. I do want to follow up with a question on the cornerbacks before we move on to some other positions when we come back after this break, Landon. Stay tuned. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Landon. I'm Jim. We are talking about some of the position battles going on at Penn State going into this offseason. We talked about wide receivers. We were finishing up talking cornerback, and we were talking about that slot cornerback, that Daquan Hardy. He filled that position so well the last few years that that may be the toughest spot to fill. You mentioned the idea of maybe it's a safety as opposed to a cornerback, but how does that skill set for that position differentiate from the guys on the outside?
Yeah, it's definitely different from a standpoint of that quickness. We saw Daquan be able to flip his hips really quick, track down a wide receiver, you know, running a crosser over the middle, you know, have a pass deflection, things of that nature. It's, you know, safeties are a little bit, they get to sit back a little bit more. They get to see everything. They have a little bit more time. And that's why you generally see safeties be a little bit longer. Guys like Zaki, guys like Kevin Winston, and they can cover a little bit more ground, but they're not able to do that quick transition as well as, say, like a smaller cornerback like Day-Day. And so, you know, I think that's why you see some of those, you see a lot of small nickel or slot cornerbacks like Day-Day. And I think you look at a guy like Zion Tracy, a little bit smaller, really fast. Also, we got Elliot Washington. I've never seen anybody so fast, ran 23 miles per hour this past summer, which is, you know, if you don't know about that, that is pretty insane. We have these things called catapults, and they track us, and, you know, it's basically a sports bra and has a little microchip in it that's in the back. And, you know, we put them on every day for summer workouts, and we'll race, and, you know, we do sprints and stuff. And then we come in and they get to put it up on the TVs in the locker room. So everybody can come in. I've talked about this in the past. Everybody can come in and talk about who's faster, this and that. And, you know, we come in the next morning, and everybody's jaws on the floor. It's like, what happened? What's on the board? And it's Elliot Washington ran 23 miles per hour, which I don't think we've had anybody run 23 miles per hour yet at Penn State besides him. So that's someone I'm looking for So, you know, look for Elliott Washington, look for Zion Tracy. And I'm excited. That's definitely going to be a battle there at the nickel slot cornerback position.
Can you translate what 23 miles per hour is for like a 40-yard dash?
Well, it's hard to, because sometimes your initials, you know, that initial burst off of the line on the 40 is different from top speed. You know, so yeah. Some guys can get top speed a little bit better. So his top speed is 23 miles per hour, but maybe that initial burst isn't as good. But he is one of, if not the fastest player on the team. I mean, a 4.3, definitely a 4.3 for sure. I'm not going to say it's a 4.2 because that's pretty otherworldly, but definitely a 4.3 he's running. And that's something that you can definitely utilize in that slot cornerback position.
So they keep that on everybody. So everybody gets that, you know, speed. So you know where I'm headed with this. So Landon, what's the fastest you were timed at?
Oh man. You know, I want to say I got about 18 miles per hour, not right around there, 18, 19. I'm not too fast of a guy. I was a big guy. We were actually made, my family was made for water sports. If anybody knows my background, I was a water polo player coming up. My dad was an All-American water polo player. Just so happened to end up playing football. And I was a big kid. It worked out well on the offensive line, but speed is not my forte. And sometimes you'll go in there and the offensive linemen are sitting there shaking their head and you look up and it's like, oh, what was your top speed for the day? And it's like, like 12 miles per hour. And it's like, oh, get them next time, man. It's all right. That's not our job. We're trying to move guys up front. But it's good for competition and good for some laughs. So it's nice they put that stuff up there.
It sounds like fun. And last question on cornerback, because I want to ask you about Terry Smith, because obviously the head coaches are the ones who get the headlines and get the big money. Next, the coordinators. Like we've seen this at Penn State. We talk about it, bringing in Andy Kotelnicki. We've talked about Manny Diaz so much. But there's these position coaches that I don't think we talk about them enough. And between Poindexter and Terry Smith in the defensive backfield, these guys have been doing a very good job. And my question is, you see a couple new cornerbacks coming into town. You know, historically now, Penn State's cornerback room has been so good. Just how much does Terry Smith have an effect on this?
I think he plays a huge role. For anybody that doesn't know, former Penn State captain back in the 80s, really talented coach, is able to get everything out of their guys. And I've talked about before with Manny Diaz wanting to play for your coach. And I think that's what you have in not only Terry Smith, but also Coach Poindexter. Have had some really talented guys. Obviously, Terry Smith just had three of his guys go. Just before this, Poindexter obviously had, you know, Brisker, you know, some really talented safeties back there. So they're able to get the most out of their guys. And, you know, I think that's what Penn State fans should be excited about, that sometimes they don't really think about, is that these coaches are so talented that they're really able to elevate their players than maybe another coach would be able to. So someone that's going to continue to be around the program forever. Like I said, he's a Penn Stater for life. That's really all he's known. And Terry Smith is really valuable to this program, not only even coaching, but, you know, just from an asset standpoint, to have a former captain on the staff. He sits in on all the big meetings, the leadership council meetings, that stuff, and gives a lot of input, can talk about, share some of his stuff from his time and his day, you know, what worked for those teams, obviously on a national championship team in 86, that type of stuff. You know, sometimes you don't realize how valuable that can be to share with some younger guys coming in and just kind of help guide them. So, you know, Terry Smith is so valuable to this program, and, you know, we're very blessed to have him here.
And I think also you start to create a reputation that draws players. You know, we all know Ohio State at wide receiver, great talent begets more great talent, but I have to think the reputation and sending three guys to the league this year is a reason why, if you're a transfer portal cornerback, hey, I think I want to go to Penn State. That gives me a good chance to play on Sundays.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, look at a guy like Jalen Kimber. This is his, you know, this is his third team. Obviously, he's looking to get to the league maybe after 1 or 2 years. And like you said, I think that's a great selling point. You know, look, we just got all these guys to the league. We need to reload, and I'm going to get you there. You come here, we're going to reload. I'm going to get you the NFL. but you know, come work. And then you bring in a guy like AJ Harris, who I think is the more talented of the two, still really young, obviously in his second year. I'm really excited to see what he can do. Played a lot for Georgia. Sometimes it's one of those things where you kind of question, you know, why did a guy have to leave? You know, played a lot as a freshman, but you know, there's different scenarios and guys feel like they get better opportunities elsewhere. And you know, I think that was a big selling point. You know, Terry Smith, he's a great coach. He's a great motivator, and obviously a great recruiter. So you know, I think they did a great job getting these guys in, and I think you're going to see a really talented, you know, second back half of that defense again, especially with, you know, keeping all those safeties. That's, you know, having three safeties all starting caliber on Big Ten teams. You know, I say the sky's the limit for these defensive backs, and that helps this defensive front out a lot. Also with getting two D tackles back, two 6-year defensive tackles, which I think is that's a kind of position you want to have a 6-year at. You know what I mean? Big, strong D tackles that have been in the Penn State weight room for, you know, five, six years, really important. So, you know, I think this defense is really shaping out to have another year like they did these past couple years.
Well, you mentioned the defensive tackle position, and that's a position where the more mature player, when you start talking about a 23-year-old playing that position and playing against perhaps even a teenager across the way, you know, that's a full-grown man you have versus, you know, still a child, if you will, a teenager.
Absolutely, Jim. I mean, and that's part of the reason why in college hoops, you only have to play 1 year. But, you know, there's a reason that's not the way it is in college football, because it's a very physical game. And if you're 18, 19 going against, you know, like you mentioned, a grown man, you know, into their 20s, there's a different type of strength there. And so I think, you know, we could definitely take advantage of that with Akeem Beamon and Devon Elise coming back. So I'm excited to see that. And like I said, this defense, I think they continue to be lights out.
You know, we started to talk about the position coaches a little bit, which I think is an area that gets overlooked way too often. And I wanted to ask you about Deion Barnes. In his first year, there was a big question when he was brought in, you know, is he experienced enough? Has he been around long enough to do? Could you give me a analysis of his first year at that position?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he had a lot of talent there. Deesa Isaac, Chop Robinson. Those are some good guys to come into when you're just first getting a job. It's nice to have those guys to kind of rely on, get you some sacks. But you know, I think this is another case of, you know, wanting to play for your coach. Deion has been, you know, obviously played here back in 2014 and around that time, in the early Coach Franklin days. But he was the GA, the defensive line GA for a while. And those guys create such a great, they have such a great connection with their players, because they're out there class checking their guys. They're out there, you know, having conversations, sitting down with them if something, you know, they need help in school, whatever it may be, life advice. You know, you do that with your position coach, but the GA is, you know, kind of sent off to do handle all this stuff. And they're always sent on errands to help guys out, handle it. And you start to build that bond with those GA coaches, and it's a little bit different than your position coaches. It's almost a little bit more of almost a friend, which I think is hard, because then you have to pull that back a little bit once you're the head position coach, because you know it's good for your players to love you and want to play for you, but you know there's that fine line between kind of having a friendship, because then you know if you feel that's your friend, the respect factor can kind of go down there. So I think he did a really good job kind of reeling that in and showing, you know, hey, I'm the top dog. I'm the coach for this D-line now. You know, we're going to fall in line. And I think the players did just that. And I think they kind of took the lead from Chop Robinson and Deesa Isaac, you know, going out there every day and giving it their all. And he gets a lot out of his guys. He's a really good motivator, and a really a fantastic recruiter too, especially in that Philly area. He has a lot of connections, and he's brought in a couple dudes. Big reason Abdul Carter came here was Deion Barnes. Obviously had a really good relationship. They're both from that area. So I think that's another big reason. When you look at, hey, do I want to hire this coach? In college football, a big chunk of that is, how can he recruit? Does he have those relationships in a certain area? And, you know, when you have position coaches, they're assigned to certain areas, of, you know, Jaywan Sider from Florida. He goes to Florida all the time and kills it there. That's why we have so many Florida guys. So I think, you know, obviously we're close to Philly, but we get a lot of Philly guys, and that's actually a big credit to Deion Barnes. So, you know, I'm excited to see what he can do in this next year. And really, I want to see what can he get out of Danai Dennis Sutton. I think he can be easily a Chop Robinson first-round pick, but I want to see how Deion Barnes can kind of accelerate that growing process for Danai, and I think he'll have a big year this year.
All right, Landon, very good. When we come back for quarter four, I want to talk about your area of expertise. We're going to talk offensive line. Stick around for that. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Landon. Jim, we're talking about some of these positional battles going on. Kind of led a little bit of a conversation, too, about positional coaches. And as promised, I want to get into the offensive line in this segment. But before we do, I just want to throw you a curveball, ask you about one other position. We were talking about Deion Barnes, a former Penn Stater, becoming the position coach. At tight end, it seems like we've got that same kind of thing. Hal being a former Penn State player, where the tight ends, not only are they performing, but it just seems like one guy after another keeps coming in. That machine just seems to keep rolling. And if people haven't heard the name before, we've got another guy coming in this year by the name of Luke Reynolds at tight end, who I think is considered the best tight end recruit in the country. And that's after Andrew Rapelier, who last year came in and was thought of very, very highly. This is after sending Theo Johnson to the NFL, which is after sending Brenton Strange to the NFL. And next year, we're going to be talking about Tyler Warren going to the NFL. This is just a machine at tight end, Landon.
It is. It is, Jim. And, you know, it even goes back to Pat Freiermuth, other guys. You know, it started with Coach Tyler Bowen, came to Penn State, was a really talented, you know, tight ends coach. Like I talked about, got Pat, got a couple other guys. Then we brought in Ty Howe, and he's just been spectacular. One of the most beloved coaches in the building, and another guy. And I think it's underrated how much we talk about these position coaches. And that really is the most important thing. And it's a credit to Coach Franklin for surrounding himself with these type of coaches. They're elite. They're elite recruiters, and they're elite in getting the most out of their players. And then recruiting too. You know, Ty Howe, he does a fantastic job around the area. He knows everybody, and he's bringing in, like you mentioned, Luke Reynolds. Rapelier, I love him. He is like the classic like tight end that wants to just kill you when blocking. And then, you know, he's got great hands, and he's a fast guy. But, and you know, Ty Howe can really develop guys. Tyler Warren, when he first got here, and he'll admit it, and we talk about it all the time, I mean, he couldn't block to save his life. And he wasn't exactly what he was now in the passing game by any means. And Coach Ty Howe came in, gave him the nickname Psycho T. That's what we call Tyler Warren around him, around here. And he has an alter ego. If anybody know that's listening to this has met Tyler Warren, he is the nicest guy, great guy, the type of guy you want to hang around, you want to have a beer with. But when he puts that helmet on, he is Psycho T. And he will go up, and you've seen it, get any jump ball. He will pancake someone. He is a fantastic blocker. And I think that's something that Ty Howe really stresses, and I see the tight ends work on every day after spring practice, after a workout. They're over there working actually on their blocking. And I think when you have multiple tight ends that can block really well, that is so important for the heavy packages. And that's why you've seen us being so successful in those heavy packages in the past years with Brenton Strange, Theo Johnson, Tyler Warren, in the three-back set that we use on the goal line and fourth and short. It's something that's really underappreciated how important a blocking, how the blocking is for a tight end, and Ty Howe really puts emphasis on that. And I think that's part of the reason why the run game has really improved over the past couple of years.
It's fascinating. I talked about it a lot last year. It seemed like every one of Nick Singleton's big runs, there was Brenton Strange leading the way, making a big block, Landon.
Yeah, he is. I've watched a couple of Jaguars games this year, and then, you know, they bring him in for those third downs where they need him to block. I think he's probably already one of the better blocking tight ends in the NFL as a rookie. I've never seen someone with so much aggression in the run game at tight end. I mean, he lived to just pancake people. Not at Theo Johnson, a little bit more of a longer, more wide receiver, you know, big body. But, you know, you kind of see that in Tyler Warren. And sometimes you won't see it necessarily on the TV copy. But when you watch film, Tyler Warren is blocking guys off the screen. If anybody remembers the big Michigan State pass to Nick that he took all the way, it was 80 yards. Tyler Warren, I remember watching it on film. I mean, took his guy across the sideline. Yeah, to put him on the bench. I mean, that's the type of stuff you like to see from your tight ends. And like I said, that's a credit to Ty Howe. And then moving in, also, Phil Troutwine, my guy, he is another really impressive assistant coach. Been fantastic. Has a really good track record at Boston College. He has multiple first-round picks. Chris Lindstrom, who's considered one of the best guards in the league for the Falcons. Zion Johnson was a first-round pick for the Chargers. Came here. Developed Olu Fashanu into the best tackle in football. Caden Wallace went. We had Rashid Walker at left tackle, who is starting for the Packers, really excelling there, protecting Jordan Love's blind side. I mean, I don't know if Coach Troutwine gets enough credit. He's pumping guys out, and this O-line has really improved since he got here.
Well, and let's get to there. Let's segue to the offensive line. And what's also happened the last couple of years in recruiting, first of all, you bring in a Ioane, but last year, Javon Williams, Alex Birchmeier, and Anthony Duncan, all in the same class, and I think Williams and Birchmeier were the headliners of that class, but it was fascinating to me, Anthony Duncan was the guy who got the call when you needed somebody at tackle for the bowl game. Tell me about those guys first, Landon.
Yeah, first off, Anthony Duncan, who actually played most of his year at guard, which is even more impressive for a freshman to play his whole year at guard, and then, you know, last couple weeks, try him out at tackle and say, hold on, wait a minute. You know, this we might have something here, even more so than we had at guard. And really long arms, really kind of reminds you of Olu. He has the same length arms as Olu, which is, you know, freak of nature, 36-inch arms. Really smooth pass set. And I think that's something, and it's a good thing. Nobody noticed that Anthony Duncan was playing right tackle in the bowl game. And like I said, that's a good thing. We talked about it earlier with your electricity. You only notice when it's not working. So, you know, if anybody noticed Anthony Duncan, you know, I props to you because he held his own. And honestly, I think he graded out as one of the best offensive linemen from the bowl game. I think we really got something there in someone who's going to be a redshirt freshman next year. You know, I looked to him to compete with Nolan Rucci at right tackle for that right tackle job. You know, both younger guys and both needed to be developed a little bit more. So I'm excited to see that. Obviously, you bring back the interior. Hunter Norzad's gone. I think you see Nick Dawkins is more than ready to step up. Fifth year center position. He's, you know, really kind of the heartbeat of this team. If you don't know Nick Dawkins, he is the team comedian, the team dance captain. We have every year when new guys come in, you got to do a song or a dance, and Nick Dawkins is the guy who ranks that. So, and then you get a trophy at the end for the number one guy. So Nick, but he is really the heart and soul of this team, and you know, I'm really happy to see him finally get his shot here. You know, at the center position, you talk about Vengoane, Sal Wormley, and JB Nelson kind of rotating at that guard position, and I think that's good. You have injuries throughout the year. You want to be able to, especially in those games where you pull away, kind of switch out some of the guards and even get in some other younger guys like Alex Birchmeier and Javon Williams, like we talked about. But having those three guys as your main guards, I think that's really good to have a rotation of three, like I said, with injuries. And then you look at, I think Drew Shelton probably takes over that left tackle spot. Someone who's been playing since his freshman year, was ready from the jump. A couple guys got hurt his freshman year, Olu. And he was able to come in as a true freshman and really hold it down at left tackle. Played a lot this year when Caden Wallace was kind of in and out, and and Olu was taken out of games early to kind of preserve him, got a lot of time there. So I think Drew Shelton's going to have a really, really good and big impact next year.
Well, it feels like the difference, and it happened kind of quietly over time with Troutwine, that early on it's like, I think some Penn State fan, okay, same old, same old. There was so that race to judgment. But now after giving him a few years, you're mentioning options at these different positions where a couple of years ago, well, you just kept your fingers crossed. The first guy was able not only to play, but stay healthy, be around. God forbid you had an injury. Now there's actual depth on the offensive line.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I remember Gary Gilliam, he came back and talked at one of our end of the season, you know, ceremonies. And he was talking about he had to play some offensive line because back when, you know, the sanctions happened, we didn't have enough scholarships we had four offensive linemen on scholarship. So we were having defensive linemen play offensive line in a real Penn State football game. And, you know, what a difference in 10 years. I mean, like you said, now from that to this, where we have our pick of the litter, a bunch of talented guys. And like I said, all the credit to Coach Franklin, Coach Leonard, also an assistant offensive line coach who was did a lot of time with Coach Belichick, seen it all. He's kind of behind the scenes guys that you don't really hear about as a fan, but an old head that takes you under his wing, has been around, like I said, a bunch of different NFL teams, Rams, Patriots, and can kind of guide you. And that offensive line room is a really tight knit group, always going out to dinner together. You don't want to see us at Texas Roadhouse. We will put away some steaks and some of those rolls, man. So, you know, but this position, right, I really am excited. This is the most excited I've been for this group ever, man. It is a really talented and young group.
In the couple minutes we have left, tell me about Javon Williams and Alex Birchmeier, two of the big names coming in a year ago to Landon.
Yeah, two really young, talented guys. Both can play guard or tackle. They're swing guys. But, you know, I think, and you talked about Anthony Danka was the one that they actually turned to, you know, when needed. And, you know, I can kind of attest to this. I came in highly rated guy. Sometimes it's not easy. It's almost better to not be highly rated because those expectations aren't so high on you. It's similar to when you're a first round pick. If you don't perform in your first or second year, they might kick you to the curb. But hey, if you're a, you know, say 3-star or, you know, 6th, 7th round pick, you have a lot more leeway. And so it's almost, you don't have that pressure on you to perform instantly. So I think that's kind of the case you saw there, but two guys that can have a huge impact still on this offensive line. And really get in the rotation, especially when, you know, you get into games where there's some blowouts, get some younger guys in, and just continue to create depth for this offensive line. And like you said, something we haven't had in a while, depth plus talent on the offensive line. I mean, that's success because you have a lot of injuries, you know, over the course of the season. Guys get nicked up, they get banged up, got to take some time off. And it's really nice to be able to have some guys that you can trust and just plug right in and say, hey, he can come in for 2-3 games and play. I trust him. He knows the playbook. His technique is ready. And, you know, I know Coach Troutwine, that's all he focuses on is the technique. He's constantly grinding. He has us over there, you know, hanging out in his garage whenever we want to get work. We'll hit him up. I mean, it's these coaches, they are fully dedicated to us and getting us better. So I'm excited to see what this offensive line is going to do in the spring season and then into the fall.
And we hadn't even talked about this incoming freshman class highlighted by Cooper Cousins, who is very highly rated. So a lot of talent continuing on the offensive line. Unfortunately, Landon, that is it. We are out of time. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.